innocence died with the first shovel of dirt. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Robert Tellis found guilty of murder of Jeff Gurman, the Las Vegas Review reporter, who was murdered in his side lawn. A man wearing blaze orange, a giant hat, and of course, Robert Tellis' signature cheap Nikes. They found him guilty, but not guilty enough to put him away forever. He's going to get parole in about 20 years. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. What was your reaction to all of this? The fact it took 2 days to get to a verdict in a case that seemed pretty clear cut.
Well, it seemed to me that there was at least one juror that was really holding out, you know, with all the information that they requested in terms of technical assistance to, you know, blow up photos, additional look at other videos. They wanted to see his gait compared to the murderer's gait. They were really looking closely at this. And I really, quite frankly, admire jurors, juries that do this. They have a man's life in their hands, after all, and they should be making sure that they're, you know, 100% sure that there is no reasonable doubt in their minds. But I do believe, Tony, that 20-year parole was part of the negotiation that maybe went on with convincing that juror to plead guilty.
And that was the part that really kind of got me. From what I'm understanding from folks who talked with some of the jurors, was that there was two holdouts in the jury pool. And I guess the hangup was the hair that they saw in the video. For some reason, they couldn't quite grasp that although Robert Tellis was wearing nothing short of a Halloween costume, that maybe he had a wig too, which only seems to make sense.
Right. A wig and glasses. You know, the defense attorney even mentioned the glasses, but it's obvious if you want to cover your face and disguise yourself, which was what 100% his goal. He knew there was construction going on in that area. Thus, he donned that orange vest and had that huge hat on. There was no way to see whether he had a wig on at all, except for in that video in the vehicle. And I truly believe that that's what he had on.
Construction in the area, does that explain the orange? Because I can't wrap my mind around why anyone would wear blaze orange to murder somebody in their yard.
Yeah, I believe that that's was the goal. I think he had done his site surveys around that area, we know, and there was construction going on. And I think he wanted to fit in as some sort of construction worker.
Why?
Well, I guess it looked would be more fitting in than somebody from head to toe in a black, black mask and everything.
I guess. I mean, you don't have to wear. You could just wear something normal, like somebody walking around. It's still. Oh, hey, there's a construction worker killing somebody in the yard over there. Still, you drive by. There's the blaze. Or you're gonna look like, oh, why is that construction worker in that yard killing someone? I don't think Robert Tellis is the brightest guy in the world with the decisions that he made, clearly. But he's one of those folks who believed that whatever he thought up in his mind was certainly going to be the right thing.
Well, I think the big takeaway, Tony, in this case for all prosecutors should be you have to address these issues. Everyone knew that that video was put into evidence. Everyone knew that it looked a little grainy and it looked like whoever was driving that car had hair. Just, you know, nip it in the bud early when you introduce it.
Let's take a listen to the prosecution talking about what exactly they believe should happen to Robert Tellis. This is, let's take a look at the options first. Then we'll talk about the prosecution, what they had to say about all of it.
Good afternoon. We're now moving into the penalty phase of the proceedings. This will be, you'll probably be relieved to learn, much, much shorter than the trial phase. And what you'll be asked to do as jurors at this point is decide what the appropriate punishment should be for Mr. Tellis. In Nevada, there are three possible punishments for first-degree murder. So as a group and individually, you'll be selecting amongst three possible penalties. The least severe penalty for first-degree murder in Nevada is a sentence of 50 years in the Nevada Department of Corrections with parole eligibility after 20 years has been served. That's the least severe sentence. The next sentence is a life sentence in the Nevada Department of Corrections, again with parole eligibility after 20 years has been served. And the most severe sentence possible in this case is a sentence of life without the possibility of parole. And that sentence means just like it sounds. That would mean Mr. Tellis would spend the rest of his days in the Nevada Department of Corrections.
So what do you think it was that pushed them over the edge to say, okay, we will do the 20 years and then you're up for parole? Was it, you know, the questioning of the hair? Was it the victim impact statements that, to keep this where it was? Because obviously it seems like it was a compromise of some sort.
It seems like a compromise. And I think it was really the totality of all of that. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because, you know, at the end of the day, these jurors are really taking the life from somebody, even if they're spending it in prison. It's going to be a rough existence. And I think that many jurors, you know, truly have empathy for these murderers. Mm-hmm. And those impact statements and the fact that he spent 3.5 hours in his diatribe, I'm sure some connected in some loose way to the humanity of him and what would be happening to him.
Do you think the jurors connected to the humanity of Robert Tellis, or did they connect to the narcissism of Robert Tellis? Because I always find it's like birds of a flock when it comes to narcissists. I find other narcissists relate to other narcissists when they're speaking or presenting something. It's like, oh, I think this weird way too, and somehow I'm going to, there's another one over there, just like me. We may never get along, but I feel that person. And I think this weird way that everyone else seems to not think like I do. That's what I wonder about with juries and things like this. I mean, it seems scary. I don't know if narcissism is just more prevalent in our society today than it used to be, but it does feel like some of these folks, you know, you can explain a situation of something a narcissist did to you, and most people who are not in that category, like, oh my gosh, you know, they can empathize. But if you explain that same sort of situation of what a narcissist did to a narcissist, they'll agree with the narcissist more times than not. But my experience has been, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think, Tony, that people that truly suffer from the disorder of narcissistic personality disorder are very rare. Again, I'm not a doctor, but just in speaking with doctors and dealing with them in different cases, I think it's actually fairly rare. Mm-hmm. And then of those who actually commit murder.
Sure.
So I think that on a jury, you would be, you know, it'd be a rare thing to have somebody that would truly have that disorder on the jury. But I think it isn't rare to have jurors that empathize because at the end of the day, most people are good people.
Sure.
And they actually can feel sorry for people and be caught up in them. And again, it was brilliant, I think, that he had 3.5 hours just where he could just pontificate about all his wrongs that were done to him. And I think it clearly might have touched some jurors.
I'm just wondering what part of that touched the jurors. Because at the end of the day, I still don't fully understand his story. I've been asking everybody, like, does anybody really grasp what he was trying to say or why he was being framed? Because, I mean, I guess in a twisted way, I kind of get it of the way he's thinking this all adds up. But it's like 1 + 2 doesn't equal 3 in his mind. It equals like 8 or something. And he's fully believing that. There's just so many pieces to his own story that just don't make sense. I loved the closing where the attorney for the state made the line, and you think they're going to go after that guy or do it all for that guy? Like, everybody's going to put their life on the line, their career, their everything for that guy. That to me, I thought was very powerful.
Yes, I think it is too. No, I agree with you. Look, his story was a hot mess. It was all over the place. It definitely tried to play up, you know, this young person who built themselves from nothing to achieving a law degree. I mean, he touched on a lot of things that I wonder if people could relate to, mm-hmm. you know, being a blue collar worker, if you will, and then achieving a law degree and then achieving, you know, other things. Did that touch anyone? Did, you know, his mannerisms in some way, you know, you got me, but I'm just saying that in interviewing jurors at the end of trials, many of them have that strong piece of empathy. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that the hair held at least two of these jurors up for that period of time told me, you know, they were really dissecting to make sure that this was their man.
Yeah. I mean, I get empathy. I feel like you're probably right, but there's also stupidity too, where it just feels like, okay, come on, people. Like, I can feel empathy for people when they deserve it. This is not a guy I feel empathy for. It just seems like he's just keeping digging and digging and digging. I have empathy for his kids. I have empathy for his wife that have this monster in their life. The kids have no choice. This is dad. This is the hand that you were dealt. But also, if you're the other parent and you're trying to protect those children, in my world, if somebody's did this, and you're seeing this person for who they are, the last person I want around my kids is this guy. Even if he is dad, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. What did you think of the wife going up there? I was surprised they're even like still together. But what did you think of her testimony in the victim impact statements asking for a lighter sentence so he can somehow at some point in life maybe be involved with his kids?
Well, I think it was moving. And like you said, anyone who would get up and make such statements, either they're completely baffled as well. In other words, they buy in to what he has to say and they're just controlled and manipulated by him, which is what I think.
Yeah.
And that's why they make the statement, because no matter what the proof is, and we've seen it time and time and again, where loved one, family members, spouses, parents, they do not believe their child committed the heinous crime or their spouse committed the heinous crime they're accused of. And it's because at the end of the day, they're manipulated.
Yeah.
And they absolutely can't buy into it.
Yeah, they're too close to the fire. And I do truly feel horrible for those people. I've been in the situation, not where anybody killed somebody, but where you know, you're close to it. You don't see it because it's a slow, insidious thing with people like that. And until you're out of it, you're like, oh, wow. I did not realize all of that.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.